Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to Inside Athletics, your look behind the scenes of what goes on here at EMU in the athletic department. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, and thanks for joining us this week. We've got a number of things to cover. I'm going to begin with just a couple of updates of some of the things that are going on right now, and then I have invited Jeff Tyson, our new women's volleyball coach, to join us, and we'll be asking him a few questions. If you were tuned in last week, we introduced Ben Spotts as a baseball coach, and we're happy to have Jeff on board with us, and we'll talk a little bit about women's volleyball and about himself in just a minute. Let me just give you a couple of highlights. As I mentioned before, last week, I'm sure some of you were wondering whether I would make any comments about the Penn State issue, and I have still refrained from doing that. I will simply say at this point that the records, I think, would show that Penn State ran a very clean program as it would relate to NCAA rules and bylaws. And I think that's one of the things that puzzles some of us who are directors of athletics at some of these institutions is while all of the activity was certainly egregious and not anything anyone would want to have occur, for the NCAA to take the position that this is institutional control starts to open up quite a big can of worms, because there would be all sorts of ways in which, and I think some of us are a little concerned, or should be at the Division I level anyway, as to what else they are going to call institutional control. Let's face it, in any organization, including EMU, the president is sometimes pretty far removed from the activity that goes on the court or in the offices here and that sort of thing. It's not that he can't be held responsible, but I know that several of us have had conversation about just having great concern over where this is going to go to in terms of how they are going to define institutional control and ethics, and when they'll step in the future. So we'll say more a little bit later. Also, if any of you are from the local area, you may have read this last week. There was an article in the Daily News Record regarding the lack of funding that EMU gives to their athletic program in comparison to the other ODAC schools, and there was a chart there. Again, I'll hold my conversation on that one till next week, but I would like to share some insights both to the figures that were out there as well as some of our responses to that. But we are aware of it, and felt like the article was very fair in what it was saying. It's really an internal discussion that EMU has to have, and that is, what is the role that a successful athletic program can play within the institution, and how do we do that within the Christian context and within the who EMU is? Probably we will, more than likely, we will be working on a vision and strategic plan for the athletic program as part of our institutional self-study that is necessary this coming year. But we'll speak more to that. But since the article appeared based upon comments that I made on this podcast that were heard by the reporter, I will address some of those next week. Let me just give you a couple of highlights of upcoming events. The fall athletes are going to come in on August the 19th, so it's right around the corner for a week of preseason. Games start on September 1st, so please check the schedule. They're all up on the website, so you can get them there. Call your special attention to three events in the fall. One is homecoming weekend. We will be inducting the 1980 field hockey team into the team section of our Hall of Honor, and we will also be inducting Eric Kratz. Eric has already had his jersey retired, but that was retired before there were some guidelines that were established for induction into Hall of Honor and jersey retirement section. So it may seem a little bit anticlimactic, but Eric will be inducted into the Hall of Honor that morning. The Friday of homecoming is the Paul R. Yoder Golf Classic. Once again, it's moved back to the homecoming weekend, and it should be an extra excitement with the establishment of our men's and women's golf team, and they'll be involved in that as well. And on September the 22nd, we will be honoring the 1998 men's soccer team. That is a team that won the Old Dominion Athletic Conference Championship, and they did advance to the NCAA Sweet 16. So Saturday, September 22nd, we will be honoring them. We'll be unveiling the NCAA Sweet 16 banner as well as a new ODAC Championship banner. So those are things that you can spread the word around. Be great times for you to come back here on campus. That gives you a little update. Please start to follow the webpage, as new information will be coming fast and furious now that we are only about a week or two away from students coming. So that's a brief update on some of the things that we have been been working on and some of the things that are coming up. As I mentioned at the beginning, my special guest is Jeff Tyson, who is our new women's volleyball coach, coming to us from Indiana Wesleyan, although he wasn't there just this past year, but that's where he played and also coached for a bit of time. But as I read just recently, coming from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, he considers that still to be his home. So, Jeff, welcome to both this podcast as well as to EMU, and I know you're still involved in a lot of orientation type stuff and trying to get there. Tell us just a little bit about your journey from you played men's volleyball at Elizabethtown High School. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your journey from there to Indiana Wesleyan and then how you got into coaching.
Well, thanks, Dave, for having me here, first of all. And I've always loved playing volleyball. As a kid, I was the little kid that would go out at the family retreats with my older cousins, and they would bear with my inabilities to play. But then first started playing organized volleyball in high school when I got to play, I believe it was 3 years there at both varsity and JV level during my time there. And then after completion of high school, went out to Indiana Wesleyan just to be a student, and got to meet Candace Motes, the head coach there, and work with her for 3 years as a student assistant and a manager with that team, and then loved that. And when my time was done as a student, the current assistant coach left, and had the opportunity to start being a coach at the college level there at Indiana Wesleyan, starting out pretty new and then working my way up with responsibility and things that I had to do during my time there.
Well, one of the things that I did, I think you have a degree in some kind of technology, is that correct?
I do, yes.
Okay, well, we're counting on that because some of us in the department are technologically challenged, to say the least. So besides coaching volleyball, we might have to do that. You were well aware, Jeff, when you looked into who EMU was and what our program was like, and you've seen that we've been at the bottom of the ODAC for the last number of years. And have been there for quite a while. So I guess one of the questions would be, it's a couple of questions, but we'll begin by first of all saying you knew what you were getting into. So one of the questions is, why are you still excited about that? And then but leading into that then is, how do you anticipate that you will build a program? You started out with a more successful program at Indiana Wesleyan, jumped in there sort of in the middle. Now you have to build one. What attracts you to EMU, and how do you think you will go about building a program?
Yeah, well, like you said, I knew what I was getting into, and I love challenges. And it's just exciting to me, as we're only a couple weeks away from the season, to get to meet the team and come out and have our first practice. But to me, that's kind of the foundation and the building going forward. You know, my coaching philosophy's fairly simple in the fact that I want to find athletes that like the school. They work hard and are willing to work together as a team and just push themselves to be the best they can every day in practice. You know, it's not about all the fancy stuff. You know, we can do that if we need to. That's great. But I think it all starts with the basics. And that's where I think starting a successful program comes from, is finding the athletes that want to come to EMU and they feel that they can be successful here, but not only individually, but they're willing to buy into that team concept, that practice is a time to come out and work hard and grow together, get to know your teammates so that we can really be a cohesive unit, hopefully this year as well as moving forward.
Well, you know, I certainly, as you understand, we don't place winning higher than the other values that one can gain from the athletic experience, but no one really likes a loser either. Yeah. And so there is that goal to get there. Some of the kids coming back, of course, have been a part of a losing tradition, you will. How do you build confidence? How do you set goals? Is it the longer term? Is it the shorter term? Because everybody can walk in and say, oh, we're going to make the ODAC tournament, or oh, we're going to be third in the league or something like that, and you haven't seen us play except for on tape. You also have to be realistic with that. So mm-hmm. Have you thought through goals at all, and what you know, some coaches allow the team to do it, but I'm sure you've given some thought to that. How are you going to piece it together? Is it a slow step at a time? Is there this goal that's out there that kids can look at? How do you approach the whole goal setting when you're trying to take a team from the bottom up through the ranks?
Well, this summer, as I was talking to the team, I asked everyone the same questions of what is your goal for yourself this year and what is your goal for the team. And a lot of the returners, you know, that had been here for a few years, they all mentioned that they want to win more. They want to make it to the ODAC tournament. And so I think they already have that goal in mind. I think my job right now is to help them see what they need, the little goals along the way to get there, and continue to encourage the fact that we are going to make the ODAC tournament. I can't promise you when, but we will make it. And so, you know, even this summer, I sent out an email and had the opportunity to talk to them just to say, you know, you all want to win, but here's what I think are little pieces that even this summer start thinking about that make winning, you know, hard work, and what can you do to help make a cohesive team, and just get those wheels turning in their head a little bit so they come back kind of on the same page as where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, you may not have an answer to this one yet, but one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that when a player is in that particular environment of losing a lot, even when they start to win or get a lead in that game, the defeatist attitude tends to come out there. Any insights to how what the psychology is of that? How do you turn that corner? How do you make them believe in themselves when so far there probably isn't much to believe in because, once again, they've lost?
Right, and I wish I had the magic golden ticket, as I think a lot of coaches would, to answer that question. But I think you have to build confidence in the process that they're going through, whether that's in practice or whether in matches that you know you can win, and build that along with them so that they believe in themselves, they believe in the team, and they believe in the program that we're trying to do, so that, you know, they got to have fun. They got to enjoy why they're doing it, so that maybe today we didn't get the goal, but tomorrow's game or next week's game, this is what we can do, and we're going to get it, and kind of move on to the next game, last game mentality.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed over the years also is the fact that if you can somehow allow kids or get kids to understand, athletes to understand that they have improved in their abilities from day one to day 50 or whatever it is, even though the win, as spectators and human nature says, winning must mean that you are the better team, and you as a coach know that's not always the case, but we still think that, and kids tend to think that. So it has seemed to me that if you can find ways to have them see that they are actually a better player, that's at least a first goal of success. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to that point, then maybe the wins will come later. Well, clearly we're going to have some kids who can play. You've already mentioned that one of your goals is to find people who really want to be at EMU. Where are the volleyball hotspots as you would understand them? You were in the Midwest a little bit, mm-hmm. with Indiana, but as an NAIA school, you probably recruit a little broader than what most of us would, Division III. Where are you going to focus your attention on as you've started looking at the landscape around, mm-hmm. here?
Well, right now my goal is to get the opportunity to put my schedule together so I can go watch a lot of local volleyball. Being new to the area, I think that's key. I've already had the opportunity to talk to a number of talented athletes here in the local area, so I'm definitely looking forward to getting to know more local coaches and watch a lot of local volleyball. Obviously, I am familiar with the Midwest, and I know that EMU gets a lot of athletes from parts of that area, and also being from Pennsylvania. You know, there's some good volleyball up there in parts of Pennsylvania, and so hopefully can start to tap into that and get to know people here pretty soon.
Give us just a final question here. Just give us a little insight into the system of recruiting. Are the showcases or the Junior Olympics, or I guess it's Junior Olympics in volleyball, give us a little bit of are you planning to go watch the high schools? Where do the club programs fit into this? For people who might not be familiar with the volleyball scene on the women's side, give us just a little insight as to where you're going to go to identify them and how you follow up to see them play.
Well, I love to watch high school volleyball as well. I think, you know, sometimes it doesn't get as much attention with all the club volleyball here lately, but there is a lot of good high school volleyball out there. Unfortunately, with it being the same time as our season, it does make it tough. I'm going to try and get to as much as I can, but then, you know, the showcases start in December, January, and then club volleyball goes all the way through June and July, and so that's the easier time for me to watch. You know, I think in some ways for this coming fall, that's a little too late, so I'm trying to get going as much as I can to to build those relationships.
Is Junior Olympics still the driving force behind club volleyball, or is it called something
There's
else?
There's AAU, Junior Olympics, all those terms, different leagues and things like that. So.
Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us today, and we're certainly excited about the enthusiasm that you've brought to the program already, and I know that you are excited about the numbers. We just saw the numbers yesterday of how many may be showing up on the 19th, and we're very pleased with that. I think it's up close to 20 or more at this point. May not be able to keep all of them, but certainly there's some interest there. And we appreciate the enthusiasm you bring to it, the commitment to doing that. I should also mention that Jeff is working part-time in the fitness center to fill out part of his load here as a women's volleyball coach. Well, thank you once again for joining us on this week's podcast. I hope that your summer continues to go well and you're beating the heat and the storms. We've been a little bit off base here because of my vacation schedule and days in and out, and working with our editor-in-chief and production manager, Matt Hunsberger, who I have not mentioned before, and want to mention it today. A great appreciation for Matt's willingness to tape these for us and post them all the time, as long as I can remember to write the description of it. But we've been a little off of our regular Friday, so hopefully that hasn't messed you up too much. We're certainly going to be back on a regular schedule, and once games start, James DeBoer will be here with us to give us you a little bit more of a highlight. But again, I invite you to check out the web pages of your favorite team, of what's happening right now. Look for more things coming down the line with Facebook and alumni activities. Jeff, I think you have an alumni event coming up. You're going to scrimmage alumni, is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to have an exhibition against alumni on the 28th.
Okay, 28th of August would be an exhibition with local people, I would imagine.
Yes, yes.
And then I think you have another alumni event over homecoming. Yes. We'll invite everyone back for a fellowship time there and recognize them. So keep up to date with us. We're gearing up, full steam ahead, and we're looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us. And until we meet again on this particular podcast, I invite you to make it a great week.